are very important. So this morning, I'm going to teach you a little bit of Chiao, okay? So I'm going to say something, and you're not going to understand it, but I want you to reply and say, Ndili chinene. Okay, can you guys try to say that? Ndili chinene. And then after you say that, you'll say, Kwali wow. So when I say something, you say, Ndili chinene, Kwali wow. Okay, are we ready? Okay, aliuli. Perfect. And I would say, Ndili chinene. And so I just said, how are you? You just said, I am fine. How are you? So it's nice to greet everybody this morning. So yes, if you get the slides up, do I hit the first one? Or do you guys do it? Okay. Do I need to point it anyway? Direction? Okay, while they're getting the slides up, I'll just keep talking. So So I am from Abilene, Kansas. That is where I was born and raised. And about 7-8 years ago, I felt the call to go to Africa. And so I talked to my wife, we prayed through it, and then we did an exploratory trip, and then we went there, and we've been there 6 years now. So I was a farmer, and I farmed with my dad and brother, and then God called me to go. So maybe God will call you guys to join me sometime. But I have a family, and I have 5 children, and 2 of the boys are now back at university, so they've been gone about 2 years. And then the rest of my family is actually back in Kansas right now. They're not with me. We decided to do some homeschooling stuff in our states. Where we live, it's a very hard context, or hard environment to live in, and so I do ministry, but most of my family will spend most of their times inside our little compound wall, and so there's not a lot of interaction with other people, and so it makes it hard. Okay, there we go. Yep. And so I might go back. Okay. Oh. Okay. Perfect. All right, there you go. So, yep, there's a picture of my family. And we have been there together for 6 years, but now, so I've been actually in Malawi for the last 3 months by myself. My family's been back in the States. And then the boys left about 2 years ago, and so they're freshmen at college right now. So you might be saying to yourself, where is Malawi? Maybe you know where Malawi is because he has connection with Doug and Barb Miller. So Malawi is that little red sliver can you see there at the bottom of southern Africa. So just to give you a little bit of information about Malawi, the total population is 21.5 million, and I think it's fairly small. I'm trying to think of the size to compare with, but there are people everywhere. You do not go anywhere and not see people. People are everywhere, all over. So the Yao population is 2.6 million, and that's who we are working with and really kind of going in on. And so the Yao people are 99% Muslim, and so that's who we're working with. And also, Malawi is one of the 4th countries in the world, and they might be even maybe the 1 or 2 currently. Even though they are extremely poor, they are very happy people. So this guy, he's actually 103 right now, and he's about to pass, but I just met with him right before I left. And he was one of the first people that I worked with to teach Jesus. And you don't cry in Malawi. But when we got to the end of the lessons and we talked about Jesus on the cross, there were tears pouring down his cheeks. So anyway, I was really excited to build relationships and teach people about Jesus. But even though, I just want to show that picture, he's always got a smile on his face. Let's say, so what we currently do, we currently have about 40 village Bible study groups. And so some of those Bible study groups have been meeting for over 20 years. Some of the Bible study groups we have just started within the last few months. And so we're constantly doing more Bible study groups and continue to disciple old Bible study groups. How we teach chronologically through the Bible. So we start in Genesis, and we slowly work through the Bible teaching the Old Testament stories, and then we get to Jesus. It's really important that we start in the Old Testament. A lot of them will have a little bit of an Old Testament knowledge because they're taught in school, and that works good with the Islam faith. And then we want to make sure and take to the unseen Jesus to the seen Jesus, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we also partner with a ministry called Crown Financial Ministries. You guys maybe know them in the States, but in Africa, what they do a lot of farming, like foundations for farming. And so we're teaching people about farming. We're teaching people about family. We're teaching people about faith, and we're teaching people about finances. So there's four F's. And so we've been partnering with them for the last 3 years, and we have seen God work amazingly through that. We love sharing the gospel with them, but they're also people that are extremely poor. And so being able to do a little holistic stuff, teaching them how to farm, teaching them how to do finances and how to continue doing ministry better. And we also help a little bit with the non-Malawi Brethren in Christ Church. And so there is a group of people called the Chewa people, and that way makes up most of Malawi. And there's about 80 BIC churches there. And so I just want to say thank you. And so I am so thankful. We are so thankful for Doug and Barb Miller. So many of you know them. They served for over 20 years in Malawi. So we're thankful for the foundation that they laid. And we're also thankful for the Kaputas. So this is Monaliso Kaputa, and he is my teammate, and that is his family standing with him. So he is born Yao. He was born a Muslim, and in school, he became a Christian. And his life motto is to live and die for missions. So he wants to see his brothers and sisters know Jesus. And it's been cool. The last 3 or 4 years, we have been able to go to his home village area where he was born and raised and share the gospel. And it's so exciting to see his relatives becoming to our Bible studies and getting to hear the good news of Jesus. And that is a picture of a mirror. I don't know if you can see yourself in the mirror, but I'm thankful for you guys. Because without your prayers, without your help, without your finances, I could not do this. We could not do this. So we thank you for you guys for partnering with us. We're all working together, and some of us are here, and some of us are out. But you know what? We're the family of Christ. And so I like to show pictures of some mosques. So this is a mosque in the big city. It's extremely beautiful. But I love coming around Pennsylvania or Kansas where I'm driving around. You see churches to the left. You see churches to the right. Well, where I'm from, you'll see a mosque to the left and a mosque to the right. So there's mosques everywhere. So we have big mosques like this that are fancy. We have some really small mosques. So this would be out in a rural village. And this one was actually built because of one of our Bible studies, and they were not happy with what we were doing. So they said, we need to build a mosque there to make sure we have our foundation. But this is a picture of a fairly typical mosque. So these are what you'd see a lot of around. If you can see in the front, there's a little pump well where they pump their water at. So now here's some pictures of some village Bible study groups. So like I would say, we've had Bible study groups from starting over 20 years ago, and some are new. Some of our groups are rather large. Some of our groups may be one person. I may walk across the street to go to a village Bible study group, or we may have to drive up to 4.5 hours to a village Bible study group. We are really working on equipping and training Yao people to teach Bible study groups. Because we have 40 groups, there's no way that Monalizo and I can teach all the groups. So we're really working with discipleship. So we disciple, equip, and we train. And so what we do, our motto is, you watch us teach, you will watch you teach, and then you teach by yourselves. And as we bring people together, and we continue to grow and walk with them. But I'll go through a couple village Bible study groups. And we do not meet in a church building. We meet under a shade tree, under a porch or somewhere. We just meet wherever we can meet. And all these groups, I would say, have been starting through relationships. That's how we start. Many times as we're doing our Bible study groups, the women are working. Right there, they're shelling corn, you can see by hand. They're getting ready for their next meal. This guy in the blue shirt on the front row, he has been with us, with Doug, for a long time. It's exciting to see what God is doing in his life. And so he has mentored two other people And one of the guys is already leading his own Bible study group, and now he's mentoring another guy to read another Bible study group. So he's constantly discipling and mentoring other people, and that's really exciting for us to see. These are two older guys that we really love going to and sharing. The guy on your, I guess, your right, he's actually crippled, and so he's not able to walk. And lately, he's getting older and having more issues, and so he's not able to control his bowel movement. And he has talked to the local sheikhs and shares there, and he says, you know what, according to your religion, according to my religion that I was born in, there's no way I can ever be clean. I can never go and see Allah. I can never go to heaven. But I know I've been learning the Bible, and I know through Jesus, he'll accept me as I am. And I know I have my salvation in him. So it's really exciting to see how people are growing in their walks with the Lord. And so this is a picture of some of our discipleship training. So about 5 times a year, we will select people that are leaders or we feel like they have potential to lead and bring them to our house, and we train and equip and disciple them more. And so we're trying to pull people in, equip and train them. They love coming together. They love seeing people that have their same faith and believe in Jesus and are encouraged by meeting together, and so they can share with each other and build relationships with each other. There's a picture of our house in the background if you'd like to see that. There's a picture of my wife and daughter preparing food, so when we come together, we always eat together afterwards. And everything is cooked over an open fire. And we get time to fellowship and share with each other. I really like just this time to come together because you've got old people and young people coming together and we get to encourage one another. And then as we're always going out to different village Bible study groups, we're always trying to say, hey, do you want to come along with us? Do you want to come ride with us? Hop in. We'll be together. So we're trying to equip and train them by living together and doing life together, because that's what Jesus did. He did life together with people. So we're just trying to do what Jesus did as well. This is a group that we love taking out with us. And these young boys love going with us. They love going. And some of them actually have led some Bible study groups. I don't speak the Chiao that great. And so he can read through and I can help him together. But they love coming with us because after we're done with the Bible study group, we usually stop and get a Coke and some cookies, and that's a very big treat for them. Sometimes in our days that we'll go to multiple Bible study groups, and so we'll kind of go out and we'll stop under a shade tree. And what I do for lunch is I make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and they get a Coke and a banana. So that's pretty typical. They get used to having that. And then as we're eating, some people will walk by and say, oh, that white person isn't really feeding them any kind of food, just giving them a little bit of bread, because they would like to have encima, and that is their food that they eat every day, every meal if they can, is what they like to have. It's like, it's corn mashed up, and it looks a little bit like mashed potatoes, but it doesn't have a whole lot of taste to it, but that's what they like to eat. So I want to highlight these two guys in the back of my truck. So it'd be the guy on your, so the older brother is a guy on your left, and the younger brother is a guy on your right. And these two guys have been extremely exciting to work with. So we started their village Bible study group about 6 years ago. And so the younger brother, when we started the group, was excited that we were coming. He said, man, how lucky am I that you guys drive an hour and a half and you pass all these villages, all these people, and you stop on my front porch and I get to hear the good news of Jesus. How lucky am I that I get to receive this? He was on board from day one. But the older brother was a traditional healer, and he was not excited that we were there. He was threatened by us. And at one point, when Doug and Monalisa were doing a Bible study, he came around with stones in his hands and was thinking about throwing them. As time went on, he realized that we were not there to cause division, but we were there for unity and to be a help to the community. So years went on, and the older brother had a stroke. And so the right side of his body was partially paralyzed. So they traveled about 3 hours to the big city to try to get help from the doctor. The doctor said, "Sorry, you had a stroke. I'm sorry, but I can't help you. The damage has been done. I'm sorry you drove all this way, but there's nothing I can do medically to help you. You're going to just have to live with what your problems are." And he said, "If you want, you can go pray." And so they went and saw some people praying, and so they went to go pray with him. And the older brother started praying to Allah, and the younger brother said, "No, pray in Jesus' name." And so he prayed in Jesus' name, and he was healed. Yeah. And so from then on, they've said, always forward, never backwards. And they have been running after the Lord ever since. As we're spending time with them, driving around, going back and forth, and going to different groups, the older brother said, "Jesus is changing me." He said, "Before I knew Jesus, I was a traditional healer." And he says, "Sometimes I knew I couldn't help them, but I took their money because I needed the money, and I could do whatever I wanted to take their money." He said, "Now I get to point them to Jesus, the true healer, the one that can save them." So we took these guys through the Crown training program, and so they learned to produce better crops. And so the older brother had a big tomato patch, and farming and living there, it's hard. And so people do not put up with stealing in that culture. If you are caught stealing, you could lose your life. It's a very big thing. And so he had this huge tomato garden, and he knew someone was stealing his tomatoes, but he had not caught them. As he was going down to his garden one day, he caught the lady stealing his tomatoes, and he was with some other people. And he said, "I wish you could have seen the look on her face. She was scared because she had no idea what I would do." And he said, "You know what I did? I said, 'Thanks so much for helping me pick these tomatoes. I was in a big hurry. These guys are needing them. I need to sell them quickly. Can you continue to help pick these tomatoes?'" So she helped pick the tomatoes. And he said, "Afterwards, after we're done, I gave her a little bit to take home." He said, "Jesus is changing me. I would have never done that before I knew him." And so to help these guys, we got them some bicycles so they could go out and evangelize around some other Bible study groups. So these two guys have probably started 3 or 4 groups, and they go out and they try to equip other people, and they're starting to share God's the good news. So another big exciting thing we've had the last 2 years is audio Bibles, and it has been such a blessing to have the Bibles. So I honestly get a little bit stressed out when we try to start a new group, but we can only go once a month or once every week. I want them to know the good news of Jesus. These audio Bibles has allowed us to give them to the people in our Bible study group so they can have daily access to God's Word. And so on these audio Bibles, they have the whole Bible, the Old and New Testament. There's about 1.5 hours of songs in Chiao that all the songs present the gospel. And also we have 68 lessons that Monalisa teaches through our first whole phase. And so they have hours and hours of listening to access of God's Word. And we have seen God do amazing things through these audio Bibles. They cost about $12 a piece, and they are amazing. They can last up to years, or they can last up to weeks, depending on how well they take care of them. But we have I'll share just maybe a couple testimonies from the audio Bibles. And so what we do is if they come to our village Bible study groups and we're in relationship with them, we give them to them. And so maybe about once a year we do handouts and say, "Okay, here's an audio Bible." And sometimes people will have their one from last year, and sometimes it has not lasted the whole year. A couple testimonies. So we started a new Bible study group, and the guy is not a believer, but we gave him a Bible, audio Bible. And when he came back the next month, he says, "When I listen to this audio Bible, there's a peace that comes over me. I can't explain it, but it gives me peace." And so it's really exciting to hear Other stories are we have lots of women that come into our Bible studies, but men do not. And so we have seen men, after hearing the audio Bible, come to our Bible studies and express faith in the Lord. We have seen so many good stories. Another quick story, and then I'll move on, is these audio Bibles have a small solar panel on the back, but it takes a long time to charge. So what you normally do is if you have a cell phone or something that needs charge, you take it to a shop that charges your device, and you pay them to charge it. And so Monolito got a call from a guy who says, I've been charging all these people's audio Bibles, and I stayed up and I listened to it all night. He said, I couldn't put it down. He said, thank you for these audio Bibles. How can I get one of these audio Bibles? And so it's really exciting to see what God is doing to these Bibles. And here's just a few pictures of us handing them out. Okay, so this is the Crown Ministries team. And so the American couple there, they went to Malawi, and they expected to stay there maybe 3 to 6 months to do some training, and they have now been there about 4 years. And so they keep telling me, you know, we're getting older, we want people to be trained and equipped, can you help us? So if you ever have the desire to work with Crown Ministries, they're looking for some help. But they do a lot of the same strategy as I do, is we teach and disciple a few, and then they go and do the ministry. And so these people have done teaching through storytelling and through dramas, and so they will teach this is more Chewa people, but they'll teach them how to do it, and then they watch and they oversee stuff. So they're not actually doing a lot of the work, but they're just kind of overseeing the ministry. And this is a class. So what we've been doing is we've been taking one village Bible study to a 2-week training. So we traveled to Blantyre, which is a big deal for them, and we spend 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, we cover the faith, we cover farming, we cover family, and we cover finances. So they get immersed in it for 2 weeks. And we have seen God do amazing things through these trainings. You can see this amazing. So all this, what they teach is not using chemical fertilizer, but using organic fertilizer. So we teach them how to make compost, which is extremely huge. And so for them to buy a bag of compost is probably a month or two of their salary. And so they don't have the availability. So we can teach them how to make compost for free. They love doing the bee training. This is a group here. And so what's another exciting thing about this is not every one of these people in this picture was in our village Bible study groups. Because we say we want farmers and we want people that farm a lot. And so they brought in other people that were Muslims, and several of them were Muslim sheikhs or did not know us. But after they come to the 2-week training, many times a lot of them come and become part of our village Bible study groups. A lot of them have been baptized and are seeking the Lord. So it's exciting how God's using this to make relationships. So after this is 5 months after they went to the training. And so it's exciting to see the results, what they're doing. And so what we do is they go to a 2-week training, and then after that 2-week training, once a month for the next 2 years, someone from that organization will come and help them and watch over them and say, oh, hey, this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing good. This is what you need improvement on. It's kind of discipleship. It's walking alongside of them, living life together. And so it's exciting to see some of these results. This is a picture of a compost pile. So you would use 1/3 green material, 1/3 dry matter, and 1/3 manure. And so you mix it all together, and then you add quite a bit of water, and then every 7 days for 7 weeks, you have to manually flip it and rotate it. So it's actually a lot of work, but it gives you a really good compost fertilizer when you're done. These are tomato plants. This is one story. So this guy came to our training, and he says, can you come please see my maize field? This is in the dry season, so this would be not a lot of people do maize in the dry season. He said, before I went to Crown, I had this ground, And I had tried and I had tried, and I can never do dry land, dry season corn. He said, I gave up. I just quit doing it because every time I do it, I would fail. He said, when I went to this training, you guys gave me the tools and helped me understand how I could do it. And I applied what I learned, and can you come see my field? And so he went to go see his field. And it was so exciting. Can you see how well his maize is? It's really cool. Nice, beautiful ears. So he did this 2 years ago. This year we went and saw it again, and he even expanded. He did more. So it's exciting. Another exciting thing is we get to take part of his baptisms. This man here, he was a sheikh, which would be like, I would say, a deacon of a church, someone that's really important in the church. And so he was a sheikh, and he came to the two-week training. We went to Crown, and then we actually baptized a lot of people after that. But this guy, he waited about 6 months, and he would come to our Village Bible Study group and listen, and then he would leave and come and listen. And after about 6 months, he came to us and says, I want to be baptized. I want to be part of your guys' group. It was really exciting to see. Another really cool thing about baptisms this last year was, I think it just really exciting to see. Most of our baptisms through the years have been people that Modelito and I or Doug have had direct contact with. We're the ones discipling them. We're the ones equipping them. We're the ones training them. Well, this year was the first year that we were able to baptize people that we did not know, because the people that we have trained, equipped, and discipled were leading them, had mentored them, and they baptized them. So it was exciting to see God's kingdom grow. Another thing that was really cool is some of the very first groups that Doug and Barb Miller started 20 years ago, Doug had baptized them, some of the members of the group. Now some of their children wanted to be baptized. And so we're seeing a second generation of believers coming. So it was really exciting to see that this year. This particular group that we baptized, I said, okay, how many people are we baptizing? They said, oh, about 9 people. I said, okay, if there's 9 people, I can take the Land Cruiser and we can all fit inside. When I got there, 13 people wanted to come. So we were cramming in the car. So this particular couple, they were baptized, and we try to do it in a culturally sensitive setting. So what we try to do, we know that we say that baptize is an outward expression of an inward change, but in their culture and in their context, it can be extremely hard for them to talk and share about that because they can be persecuted. And so what we do is we take them out of their context and we take them to a safe place where we can do that. So we took them to a safe place and we told people, you do not have to tell other people that you've been baptized. You know, we need to keep this a secret. If you feel like you want to share it, you can. So this man said he was telling everybody around, I've been baptized, I'm following Jesus, I'm following the Lord. And one day when he was in his garden, they came and they burned his house down. And so it was really hard. But the most encouraging thing was the Village Bible Study group. They said, you know what? If you have 3 pairs of jeans, give him 1. If you have 2 bags of maize, can you give him 1 bag of maize? These people have nothing, and yet they shared with their brothers and sisters in Christ. It was exciting to see the love of Jesus. So this is a time I like to tell a little joke and try to lighten the mood, because I'm a little emotional sometimes. But one thing, as we're traveling back between Mongochi, where I stay, in the bigger city, which is about 3 hours, we pass a town that has lots of strawberries for sale. And so all of us missionaries like to stop and buy some strawberries. Well, I was talking to my Australian missionary friend. He says, I can never buy strawberries again. He said, one day, as we were driving, I saw the guy setting up his strawberry tray, and he was taking each strawberry individually, putting them in his mouth, and cleaning them and putting them back on the plate. He was a good businessman. He was making sure his strawberries were shining brighter than the other competition. So I work mostly with the Yao people, but we are starting to work a little bit more with the Chewa Church. And so the Chewa Church, they have about 80 BIC churches. And so once a year, they have a thing where they come together and they share. And so there's this picture of that. They love to come together, they love to sing, and they love to dance. The Chewa people are known as a Christian people. What I would say is their faith in the Lord, their understanding is very shallow. They don't know much to do, but they know how to sing, and they want to have a relationship with Jesus, but sometimes you don't know what you don't know. So will you join me in prayer that someone will come and help and teach and train them how to know God's Word? And so we are doing a little bit of teaching and training and trying to help and equip them. As we're going as well, we continue to take guys and we build relationships between the Yao and the Chewa. There's lots of hard tension in the past, and so we're continuing to build relationships between our Yao people and the Chewa people. This is the bishop and then the two guys that I was telling you the story about being together. This is a picture of us going to a Chewa church and doing a week-long training. So right before I came here, we went and we spent a whole week into a village and we slept in tents and we stayed there and we did training. And so Modelito, my teammate, will teach from about 8 o'clock all the way up to 5 o'clock and teach and train them. And it's really exciting for me to see the pastors there are just standing there the whole time just with their eyes, just taking notes and learning and taking and you know, just loving everything that they're hearing to be trained in. Here's a picture of us eating together. It's a little bit hard for me to eat their food every day, three meals, you know, for a week, but I get, you know, you have to deal with it. So. Okay, I'm getting close to the end. Will you join us in prayer? Pray that God will continue to lead and draw you closer to Him, that through relationship, you will be a light for others. And will you pray that God will call men and women of God to join us in Malawi? There are many options to serve in Malawi alongside the Malawian non-Yao church, the Chewa church, at Foundations for Farming and helping with us among the Yao in helping with farming, with literacy. So about 90% illiteracy rate in the Yao. So that's where the audio Bibles are really good. With children's ministry, healthcare, there's a lot of different areas that we can help serve. Thank you for letting me share. And if you have any questions or if I wasn't clear on something, please feel free to come up and ask me afterwards. But I'm just so thankful for you guys and partnering with us and continue to please pray for us as we're there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for sharing. Let's do that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for all that you're doing through this ministry. And Lord, we look at these folks who are in great need of deeper teaching. We pray for that particular group and ask God that you will supply the workers to come and work and to teach the Bible and to teach the depth of the Bible and all that needs to happen. We pray that all these different ministries, that you will continue to allow them to thrive and Lord, we pray for Estol and Kristen. We ask, God, your blessing on them again. We pray that you'll keep them safe. We pray that you'll work through them. We pray for great connections and communication with new people, new opportunities for new groups. May they continue to multiply, and may all the levels of discipleship and mentorship happen so that everything will work exactly according to your plan. We know your plan is to see more and more come to Jesus. I ask your blessing. Continue to bless him as in his travels this afternoon as he speaks at Barb and Doug's church. We pray that you'll continue to speak through him. Thank you, God, for this time together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate you. Worship band is coming to lead us in some fun.